Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise God. You know, there is an epidemic of anxiety in the world. And it's part of course, what the scripture says in Luke 21, verse 26, where it says that men's hearts will fail them for the fear coming of the things, looking after these things which are coming on the earth. Men's hearts failing them from the fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. He speaks in Haggai about how one more time he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. And he speaks about the same thing in Hebrews. And he says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Because there is a system that the world has been operating on all throughout. And you know, when I was considering, when we were growing up, people of my age, growing up, your father, you know, somehow knows if you get to university and they are doing some serious course, then he's very happy because somehow you're sorted for life. So you'd see getting excited, you know, my son is doing this course at the university. Universities, those days, university at that time was a serious thing, not like now. People come out of university who can't even write a sentence. I know people who are graduates who can't even speak English. Like, it has been watered down completely. But now, in our days, university was university. When somebody comes out of university, they are fully baked. They are intellectuals to some extent. Not now. Now, everything has been turned on its head. Praise it. But anyway, my point is that that was... So somebody comes out and says, I am an architect. And then they are sorted for life. Because that means that since people are always going to be building houses and they're always going to need plans for houses, they're always going to need architects, so you're always going to be relevant. And then the system of the world operates on that basis, where somebody meets you and says, so what are you into? What are you doing these days? And what they're actually doing is they're sizing you up. You know, they are seeing how heavy you are. Now, of course, if you have nothing you're doing, that's a very bad question. It's tricky. But, you know, I remember when I just left working in the media, I met some guy who I used to work with there. So I asked him, so what are you doing these days? So he told me, I'm into IT and, you know, yeah, he had some high-sounding stuff he was into. Now me, I was into nothing. Huh? I was into seeking God. So he told me that, I understand you are into religion. I said, yeah, I'm in religion. But you know, now that was the best way of it. But the point is, what he's doing is sizing you up to see. Now, in certain communities, they ask you, how many cows do you have? Long ago, it was, how strong are you? How many, you know? Remember the days of Okonkwo, Amalinze, the cat, who nobody has ever put down. So every society has had its time and so on. But now let me tell you this. The world is turned on its head because... The other day, let's say you're an architect. So you studied architecture, you go and do your master's. But let me tell you something. AI has taken away all the relevance of all that stuff. You know that. I can go, if I have AI which I pay for, I just put, if I have 500 million Uganda shillings, design for me a country house. It will do it in a very short time. It knows the price of cement and what in Uganda. Because it gets all that. So it knows, it will do all that, what somebody has. So there your master's degree is useless. Because I'm not going to need you. Now what, I would say I have 600 million Uganda shillings. And I want to design a country home. And I fit it into the AI. There's those which are easy, but there are those which are for paying. And the payment is not even a lot. And it's going to give you, within a short time, it will even ask you for specifics. Do you want, how many bedrooms do you want? Do you want it story or what? You fit in all that and does everything, boom, there. Just like that. Somebody's master's degree is gone. and his relevance. Something which he thought was going to sort him throughout all his life is gone. Now what is it doing? Now you like, let's say what? An accountant. And now accountants, you are in serious trouble. It will do a spreadsheet and everything. One, now there is this one, the Chinese one. What do you call it? Like that. You even tell it, think deeper. It goes deeper. And you look, bam, that's the end. And then somebody's masters is gone. Relevance zero. Okay? Now a time is going to come when you will say that I have a degree in trusting God. Because everything that is going to be shaken is shaken. I'm seeing now, the other day, everything, by the way, I was seeing in Dubai, a machine which cuts hair. Now even chinoses are also in trouble. It has designs of how you want your hair. So you press, pam, 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 like this, how you want it. They are different people. So it shows you if you want Shaolin, or if you want what, or if you want, you know. So, and there are pictures there. So you just press like this, then put your head inside. Within 1 minute, you see the hair down and you're out smart. So even barbers are in serious trouble. Now, which profession is going to remain? Do you know, I was like, it is so, the people who actually held, got all their relevance from where, what they do. Now, that guy was telling me, I do religion. I'm glad I was into religion, because like, if you don't have a degree in trusting God, you are insane, because it is the system has shaken completely. And now these things, it's not, I was seeing in, I was looking at statistics for young people, especially in the Western world, very, very, very worried. 40% of them are worried about our climate change, about what, you see, of course the devil stirs up worry about something, because certain things happen when people are worried. And one of them is bad health. One of them is, they don't live long and so on. All the things that the devil wants happen when people are worried or when they are anxious. Okay? And now you find people, every day you wake up and they tell you, oh, all your professions are going. Very soon we shall not need human work. Now, seeing in America, it was actually the other day, somebody was saying, now the jobs which are earning a lot of money, who can guess? Plumbers. That's where AI has it gone. It doesn't know how to connect toilets. So, plumbers, serious, I'm not joking. Plumbers and electricians are earning six-figure salaries. Six-figure means 100,000 and onwards. The average salary in that place there is about $50,000-$60,000 a year, not a month. Now, plumbers are the ones earning what? In excess, twice the whatever. Now you say, when did whoever go to a place where now, if somebody asks, what are you into? I'm into plumbing. For you, is into IT, you look like you're all that. But after some time, you are the accountant. Because even doctors, now, I was seeing still that Elon Musk tweeting how a machine is going to be doing surgeries. So now somebody studied medicine 5 years and then did internship. And then went and specialized in surgery another 2 years. And AI is doing diagnosis, is doing what? Dr. Richard here is in serious trouble. And this he has a degree, trusting God. Of course he does. You see, now everything like that is, everything is just shaken. Just that simply. And you say, now where are we going to get our relevance from? Because you see, especially for men, jobs are not just jobs, they are relevance. So everyone wants to get this thing that they are adding value in society, some one way or another. So me, I'm this, I'm that, and so I realize that when men get to that point, when you're younger, you can eat a lot. When you don't yet have something where you feel you add value, you will eat a lot, you will never put on weight. Now, when you get that car place where now you feel I've found my niche, and now here you can easily answer that question, what are you into? You see, you can stop eating, you'll put on weight. Because something inside you gets to a level of comfort. I know from what. Now even musicians, my God, my God, my God. AI is doing music, which natural people cannot do. It will even get Bob Marley from the dead, and he sings and it's real Bob Marley. Haven't you seen that? Now, we say, now where is the place for art? Of course, there is. But my point is that, those are things which people held on to and they felt that they had arrived. But now it has all been shaken. And that shaking is not good. And that anxiety over what are we going to do? What is going to be my relevance and what causes? This is the number one cause of depression. Depression. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 12:25. It says it very clearly. And now this is really the whole thing. Chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And now the enemy will just come and make you anxious all the time. Now what about this? Now what about the other? Now when you get over this anxiety of, you know, somebody who is renting is anxious that when I build my house, I will not be anxious. You will be. Anxiety is a choice. It's a state of mind. And you really have to learn how to put yourself away from it. Otherwise, it stays with you. And there are so many people who sleep with it, wake up with it. That's why it's the number one cause of sleeplessness. Now, one of the biggest drugs being whatever is antidepressants, which just knock out your systems and you sleep. And because people can't sleep properly, you want to sleep, your mind is active. What about this? What about that? What about the other? What about the other? And somehow your body cannot switch off. So the whole night goes by and you've only dozed. And you wake up in the morning tired because of anxiety. Now that's what happens to many people especially in those societies. But I'm telling you now, and then they end up taking antidepressants and becoming addicted to them. And it's tight. And now it's happening to everyone. It used to be a problem that men would have, but now even women have it more than men. And that's, you get out the average girl who is working, let's say somewhere. You find a girl is 25, she's looking after her father, after her mother, she's looking after her siblings. She's anxious. Absolutely anxious. All the time, she's this, she's the, now this one. Now, if she hears somebody has fallen sick, she's in trouble because she doesn't have the means. So she's, and most of the girls, boys can know how to switch off and be useless. But girls somehow, they take on these things. That's why the worst thing you can do, you guys, is to give birth to somebody and leave the person to the mother. That gives you a proper curse. Like, at least give her money. Like, nobody makes a child alone. But you see, if you go away, she will have no choice. She will look after the child. But you will find things are not working out for you because God is doing justice for her. She's there struggling to get milk for the child. Who is your child? So, okay, maybe you didn't intend it. It happened. And now give her money. Send her mobile what? No, because the thing is, I've seen, if you investigate some people, you really see somebody is carrying a lot of burdens on there. And you say, now, there's somebody is supposed to be helping in all of this. But they are not. Praise the Lord. So now people go to sleep anxious. It's almost like a cloud. It goes with them. They wake up with it. That's if they ever sleep. If they sleep, they wake up, and then there's anxiety. Anxiety. What about this? What about the other? And the whole day, you cannot have a normal healthy life when you live like that. Amen? I says, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Now you see, you not even come here for a good word because you're anxious about something. But words are very powerful, especially when they are from God. Because they give you a sense of, you are not the last person. You are not the last decision maker. There is God who is looking after you. You see, there has to be that sense of knowing that God watches over you. and nothing is going to happen wrong. And now when you get in that place of actually knowing it and believing it, then nothing happens wrong. You become actually the way a child is. They expect good things all the time. And now that's the place that Jesus was talking about. And, you know, do not worry about what. So, but you see, now all the things that come in the world, they will come here and say there is this sickness. Now there is all your professions are going away. You know, unless you're a plumber. Eh? How many of you are plumbers? Huh? So now, all of you. So something is presented in a way, and it's not even presented that this is advancement. No, it is presented purposely to make people scared, and that is because they trusted in systems that are not of God. That's why God says the only thing that does not change is Him, His word. That cannot change regardless of how much technology comes or goes. His word is permanent. So if you have a degree in trusting God, that one is going to sort you until you what? Until you're raptured. Praise the Lord. Now that's why we come here and we tell you how to learn how to trust God. Because nothing else is going to be permanent whatsoever. Nothing. And then even says in Hebrews that He says He will shake it. So that only those things which cannot be shaken stay. And those, the only thing that cannot be shaken is what is rooted in God. Now every other thing will be shaken. Every other thing will be shaken. Now I just gave you an example of AI. But in all other spheres of things, things are shaken. Now he says in Jeremiah chapter 17, starting verse 7. Blessed is, let's start with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who trusts in the system, the systems that are of men, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from God. Now notice this, you cannot trust God completely and trust man. Trust is, it's one way or the other. Now, when you trust man, your heart departs from God. And I know what this looks like. Okay? Somebody, let's say, was in a tight place and, you know, used to trust God for even the next meal. Then suddenly they get a job and now they are in a place of comfort. And then now they start trusting more in the job. Okay? And then somehow you see their heart departing from God. And I can see it. I've seen it even among people, you know, the time I've been in ministry. Where you see somebody gets to a place of comfort and you see them, they are pulling away. Their trust away from God. There's somebody I know, she used to attend fellowship and she went and got a job somewhere up country. By miraculously. And now if you know what she was before and what she is now, it was really a miracle. And for the beginning, she's connected to the, you know, the source that did it and so on. After some time, the job is there. What she's never, then of course responsibilities come. Then what? Then she cuts off. Shoo, and is off. Now the other day, the same person comes and tells me somehow, by some miracle, not in a good way, her name was deleted off the government payment register. And now it has not come back. So you have a job. I know how slow a government can be. How many offices you have to go to when your job. Now you people, let me tell you something. The scripture says he will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know that scripture? The devourer manifests himself like that. You have a job, you're working, and I told her, don't stop tithing. But you see now when you say that, because even the other day, admin was telling me some people, they call them for partnership, they are rude. If you don't want partner, don't. Don't be rude for anybody. Don't, and you see if we will not survive as a ministry. We trust in God, not in anybody. But you see, if you don't understand, if your heart starts trusting in the system, you depart, it happens. You start departing away from God. And it happens slowly. At some stage, everything you're doing, you're trusting God. Now, as long as you trust God, there is no system that is going to come which will do what? Which will scare you, because you know deep inside you that it is anchored in God. God is the one who gave it. Like, you can be confident knowing God is the one who gave me this place. God is the one who gave me this job. There is nothing that can happen to me unless God is taken off the throne. Other than that, I am settled. From here, I will go to a better place. Now, that is when your heart is anchored in trusting God. And you've kept it that way. But you see, the enemy is subtle. He comes, and anxieties, by the way, is an attack. You have to know that. It comes in the form of anxiety. But now what if you fail to pay that rent? What if you lose that job? And you see, somebody was comfortable. And as long as they were comfortable and trusting God, they were never going to lose the job. They were only going to go from one job to a better one, to a better one. And they are in a world where they don't even know what's happening. Somehow God is looking after them, and they are going from glory to glory. That's how it works. But then the enemy comes and sows some anxiety inside you. But you see, now you're there. What if that person goes away? Okay? You're there depending on somebody. What if that person goes away? If you were trusting in that person, you're in trouble. But if your mind knows that this person was brought by God, and I'm trusting in God, even if he goes, a better one will come. So now you see, it says, makes flesh his strength. So now you start becoming, you know, the systems of the world are very tempting to trust in, especially if they are working in your favor. I mean, things are working, you have this, you have that, you have some sort of, you know, the systems are very, very tempting to settle down and say, you know, especially if you are not somebody who is chasing big dreams. Now, if you're chasing big dreams, you can't trust in man, because you know where your limitations. You know how far your limitations are. So, but you see now, then your heart departs from God. And it does, eventually. Unless it has to be deliberate to know that everything I have, everything I am, is because of God. And then you have to go back and remember where he got you from. You know, these are simple, simple things. Even in times of prayer, you go back and remember where he got you from, what you were, what he has made you, what is now. That is the foundation for all your faith. You say, no, he's brought me from there, now I'm here, and I am very sure he's taking me somewhere great. And then you wake up and there is no anxiety in you, because you know there is somebody above. You are not the final decision maker. Amen? It doesn't start and end with you. Because if it does, then you've made flesh your strength. And then it goes on to say, whose heart departs from the Lord. He says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. Now it's interesting, he says he shall not see. Because good will come, but he will not see it. Now, I don't want to go into examples of people who I've seen, where something good is before them, but they don't see it. Because their mind is in a certain place. So they can't see that this is an opportunity. And then they are very shaky. Even when they are in the pursuit of something, when the first disappointment they get, they are like, ah. Those things, you know. It has never worked. Somebody told me that. I told her that, why don't you believe God for finances? Why don't you believe God for finances? Said, I need this amount of money. I said, get a seed and sow towards that amount of money. Then she said, it has never happened for me. I said, it's not going to happen for you. Because you're waiting for it to happen, then you believe. That is not how God told us to be. You have to first believe. Then it happens. The biggest issue people have is they miss God on the simple fact that he says they think they are waiting on him, yet he's waiting on them. And it's just that simple. He's waiting on them. That's why he says, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, then you will have them. Don't wait to have them, then you believe. You don't believe when you have. There's no need for believing if you have. He says, believe that you receive it, then you'll have it. Now, man, that is a very tough paper for so many people. Very, very tough paper for so many people. to say that, thank you, Father, because I woke up this morning, I was sick, but now your word says I'm healed and I am healed. Thank you, Lord, because I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, because I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. But your body is not healed. He says, believe and you receive. You will receive. You first believe. Now, if you want to do it any other way, you're going to die. Okay, I'm not going to get it God's way. Because he's not going to change because of you. One of the reasons we worship him is because he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. So his ways are the same. They have been the same since humanity. Since Adam, there is nothing that has changed about him. So when you learn something about him, it is permanent. You have a degree in that thing. And AI is not going to change it. So now, he says, shall be like, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not habited. That is somebody who trusts in man. That is somebody who trusts in himself. That is somebody who is self-made. Very, very tempting thing. Oh man, me, I'm self-made. You know? Very tempting. But it is dangerous. Because you get to a place where yourself cannot do anything. You just have to cry out to God. But if you've already been put yourself in that place, it's an easy thing to trust God and say, you know, I've lost this job, but I trust you there's something better coming up. Because, I mean, you didn't bring me here. First of all, if you gave him credit for that job, you know if you lose it, there's something better. Because you say, God, I thank you because you're the one who brought me here. And this has been good. But I think there's something better because otherwise I wouldn't have lost this. Then you be in praise. Then you praise. And then you don't let anxiety attack your heart. Men's heart fearing for the things that will come. Now the only way you survive that in this age is if you trust, if you have a degree and a master's in trusting God. Because things are going to come which are meant to just shake. And the devil brings them. Just to shake people and make, like he doesn't like comfort. He doesn't want to wake up and you're comfortable. And you're, you know, happy. Something has to come that is going to this. Then it says in verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts God in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. You go to King James. For he shall be as a planted by waters and spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not, okay, it says here, but this translation says, shall not be anxious when heat comes. Shall not be anxious, what? Does it say if heat comes? When? It will come. That's how life is. The trials will always come. There is no question of whether they will come or not. They will. But it says when they come, somebody who has trusted in God is not anxious. Because you know, you're not the final person. There's a father above you who is making all these things. So anyway, it says, when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green, it shall not be anxious and full of care. Okay? The tree shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. So now, you see, it says, when heat comes, then it says the year of drought. All these are things which actually happen. But what he's saying, those who trust the Lord, those who trust in the Lord and do not let anxiety attack them, even in drought, they were yielding fruit. Okay? Even when the heat comes, the leaves are green. In the very hot, you know, sun, the leaves are green. In drought, is still bearing fruit. So there is a certain element of comfort, which sometimes some people even say, but I remember after being in a very tumultuous period for a long time, when there was a bit of comfort, and then you seem to have everything you need. And when you have this, you need it. You even start asking yourself, is this something wrong? Is this how life is supposed to be? Because you're used to it. But then it is supposed to be like that. It is not, where you've come from is how it's not supposed to be. Now you've entered the real life. You're getting the fruits of actually trusting God. Because when you were in the drought, you were trusting God. Now you're yielding fruit. Now you seem to... I remember one time I went and I wanted to withdraw 2 million shillings on mobile money. 2 million Uganda shillings on mobile money. I drove from one shop to another, another to another. And I didn't have money. Then I met some other men of God. And they were also saying the same thing. And they were saying, maybe there is a shortage of money and for us we don't know. Because I was going to see a shop, 2 million shillings. Where are you going? 2 million. Ah, you don't have. Then you drive. Hey, Meka, 2 million. I said, hey, 2 million. 2 million shillings. And then that guy made me see things in a certain way. You know, God can shield you. You know that thing of lives in the what? In the secret place of the Lord. Where you're shielded, there is brokenness, but for you don't know. You mean there is brokenness? Me, I didn't know that. That time, that guy said that. That guy, you guys, maybe there is a shortage of money and we don't know. Because from where we were, like, this, now, things were okay. In our world, there was no shortage. Let me tell you something. You're going to get a degree in trusting God. Amen? It's the only degree which you will be with until the rapture, and there is nothing that can shake it. Nothing. Even if they bring what technology, you are steady. Praise the Lord. That is what we are going to now become what? Experts in. Because everything else seems to be shaking, shaking, shaking. Very fast. Now robots are doing all work and so on. The other day, somewhere, you know, robots serving burgers and, you know, putting the potatoes in there and serving. Then gets a burger, then puts some, you know, then puts olives. You know that crap they do, eh? Then they put some lettuce, eh? A robot. And then the thing gives you what? Chips and burger. And I'll say, man, now who is safe? Those who trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Only because then robots doing police. Construction robots. Now this used to be something that was like, you know, I remember when we said, but now I'm saying all over. Construction robots. And now it's that Elon Musk who is mostly doing it, because for him he wants to go to occupy Mars. And he knows he's not, Mars, that's why he's doing solar, because solar, the only way you're going to get energy on Mars, if he goes there, is through solar. The only way you're going to get workers is by robots. Okay? And that thing, that sort of thing, you use, so, and then those EV vehicles. So everything he does is about occupying Mars, so he says. Huh? Now, so now all things, cars, self-driving. So even drivers are not necessary. Because self-driving cars are actually now a very big reality. And drivers, you know, have issues. You can't say, you can't speak your secrets in the car when there is a driver. Some guy told, drivers can, drivers have spoiled people's lives. You have no idea. Some guy told me he was calling some dignitary, some, you know, top government dignitary. He says, I'll call you back, I'm in the car. The guy said, what do you mean? He said, there a network in the car? What? Then the guy says, I can't call when I'm in the car because the driver is hearing our conversation. And he becomes your weakest link. Because he knows everything. So now, imagine you want to have conversations. In what? In the car. You get a self-driving car and there is nobody who is listening to you. Anyway, my point is, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Okay? For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. nor will cease yielding fruit. Think about that. When there is a drought and you do not cease yielding fruit, there is not a single time when you cease yielding fruit. There is a drought, you're yielding fruit. There is sun, hot sun, your leaves are green because you chose to trust in the Lord. And you made that is your life. You trusted in the Lord and you saw something coming out of trusting God, and you trusted and trusted until eventually, like, you're unshaken by anything. Now more than ever, as the scripture says, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Anything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Because the world is going in a direction where even the very humanity, they are working towards making humans not necessary. Because that world of the New World Order, they see humans as labor, nothing more, labor. You're not human beings worthy of love and care and what. No, you're labor. So if robots can do what you can do, then they can vaccinate you and you die. They can give you their vaccines and they kill you. because they don't need you. That's the whole point. That's how unforgiving this end time world is. People are wicked beyond belief. You don't think that. But you see, the scripture promises us that when the wicked become more wicked, the righteous become more what? Righteous. And not just more righteous, they become more powerful. It speaks somewhere of a time in Zechariah when he says, the weakest among them shall be like David. The weakest among them shall be like David. So in other words, if you go and pull down Goliath, you are the weakest. You come and say, I brought down Goliath, you're the weakest. Then he says, and the strong shall be like God. Praise the Lord. Now that time comes when they go the other side, we go this side. They are living on anxiety, on a staple diet of anxiety. They sleep to it, they wake up to it. You wake up to comfort and the knowledge that God is in control. There is nothing that can shake you. But you see, this is a foundation you have to have built yourself into at some stage where you really, really trust God. Praise the Lord. Now you see this anxiety which I'm telling you about. The scripture says, not be anxious about anything. Not be anxious about anything. Then it says in the same scripture, Philippians 4, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God, which, because you're not anxious about anything. You just let God know your problems. And that's even a lower level. So you're not anxious about anything. But you see now, this anxiety, it starts. There is a progression, and this is true for everything, which is mentioned in the book of James, chapter 3, which it says, anxiety, when it comes, you can be anxious about so many things, okay? Sometimes even your body needs a bit of anxiety. That's why people support football and support clubs that never win like Arsenal. Because they just want a bit of what? Anxiety. The guy is like this, like this. There was a time I was watching football with Arsenal fans. Man. Eh? But I know, because it gives adrenaline and it's nice and what. That time they won. Praise the Lord. But most times. But you see, so sometimes they need a bit of tension just to have that, you know, just for the sake of life. But then, when you start becoming anxious, and of course, you being anxious about certain things, maybe if you sat for an exam, you can be a bit anxious about whether you'll pass. Now, that's what the Bible says. There's a natural anxiety. There's that progression which is in James chapter 3. Start from verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against one another. This is not what I'm interested in. The 15 is what I'm interested in. Interesting. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, is sensual, is demonic. So there are certain things which start off as natural, a natural anxiety. Okay? Maybe you sat an exam, you're anxious if you pass. Maybe you applied for a job, you're anxious if you get. Just natural, you know what is, you know something which is natural. Then after some time, it goes a step higher. Now, sensual means soulish. It goes deeper inside you. And it becomes like, let me use the example of, first of all, what he's talking about here. Although this is true for so many other things. Go to verse 14. It says, bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Now, go to verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Then he goes on to describe wisdom. If you have bitter envy, now, what he's talking about here is not the, like, there's jealousy. Eh? Now, jealousy is not good, but there's natural jealousy. Okay? Which is natural. You know, you're jealous of somebody's car and what, you know. It's not good, and you have to fight it, but it is natural. You see, eh? All these things are natural. Even there is lust, which is natural. But after some time, it becomes sensual. Your soul becomes like that. Then after some time, it becomes demonic. Do you understand? Now, there's somebody who has, these are bad habits. Let's say like envy. Bad habit. You shouldn't have it. But it can be a natural thing. The way, you know, you'd say, this one has a better whatever than I. Okay? But then, if you go deep, if you let it develop more into you, it ceases to be natural. It becomes the state of your heart. That's what it means by sensual, soulish. It becomes the state of your soul. And now you are described as somebody who is envious. Whereas previously you had just said, hey, man, that's a nice shoe. Eh? Man, I wish. Maybe even a little bit of envy. But even if that's... But then it becomes sensual. Then eventually, when it becomes sensual, then the devil comes and takes it up from there. And says, now don't worry, I'll take it up from here. Now it becomes demonic. Now that's the same thing as the anxiety. A lot of the anxiety that is out there is demonic. It's demonic. And it is spread, it is put out. Young people are suffering from it. I remember my son telling me how he was listening to some music because his kids at school were listening to it. And he started becoming anxious. There's that lady called Billy Eilish. First of all, look at the people. Somebody stays in a castle, stays alone. Alone. With a dog, maybe, or a cat, or something like that. That's how they live. The devil is a terrible taskmaster. Like, he really makes his servants suffer. Then the person releases a song from there, and suddenly it has billions of views. Of course, because it comes from a deep spiritual place. But it comes from a spiritual place to achieve something among the people who listen to it. Then he told me that he started becoming anxious about this, anxious about that. Suddenly he's worried about what if this doesn't happen, what if this doesn't happen. And it is just a bombardment, and it is a lie. And it comes and bombards these young people's minds, and then they don't know where it comes from. Then they become sad. So you find kids who are sad, and they should be happy. And when we are their age, we are happy. If you have food in your stomach, you're happy. That's all you needed. And you are, because there is nothing. What are you unhappy about? And now he started becoming unhappy and unhappy. Now, then he said one day, he was really, had been taken up. And now this was during lockdown. So he's at home and he's in his room and he's there very sad over nothing. Nothing. There is lack of nothing. You understand? Except the fact that you can't move out. But it was a lockdown. But there was lack of nothing. Then he's lying on the bed, very miserable. Then he said the next minute he saw Jesus lying right next to him. Then he told him, now are you unhappy? Why are you sad? And as soon as Jesus said that, he started laughing. And laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed for minutes. And the thing lifted. And it was, it comes and creates a false reality where now the whole world is crumbling on you, and it is demonic. And you find somebody who is very miserable over nothing. Then that time the Lord told him also, stop listening to that music. And as soon as he switched it off, then life is good. And now People don't understand here this men's hearts failing. It is an epidemic, especially in those so-called whatever. It will soon come here for those who don't learn how to trust the Lord. But now in those places, people wake up to eat, go to sleep to eat. The biggest pills that are being whatever are sleeping pills, antidepressants. Pharmaceutical companies are making a lot of money off it. Okay? People end up in, you know, I remember I met a young girl, looking after her mother, her brother, what, you know, and so on. Then I was seated there, and this person came to serve me. And then I see the eyes are red. And then I say, what's wrong? I just ask out, you know, that what's wrong? She says, my mother has been diagnosed with something and what? And she says, now I try to find out if there's anything I can do. So she says, and it's so expensive. And I'm the one who has to pay. And I have to do what? I have to pay this, I have to pay this. I also have my own needs. What? This is a girl who is less than 25. And she's, I just said this word, it's a very unforgiving word if you don't learn how to trust God. So, I got a few hundred dollars and gave her. And she was, what is this for? I said, no, you just take that. Go and pay your mother's what? Bills. She was in complete shock. And but then I looked and said, now look at somebody like this. She doesn't have a boyfriend. She's just started working. She has a whole load of things. Sleeps to anxiety, wakes up to anxiety. Then, the next day I went to the same place to have food. Then I said, how is your mother? She said, she tells me details about how the mother is. Not nice stuff. Huh? Like things are not good and what. And said that, but thank you so much for that money. It helped a bit. And then I went and bought myself a bottle of wine so that I can sleep. I said, so you need wine to sleep? She said, I cannot sleep unless I take some wine. Now that is somebody who is less than 25. Already sleeps to depression, wakes up to depression. Needs to drink to sleep. Man, say it's an... So when I'm telling you, you take degrees and a master's in trusting God, it can be very tough out there. Extremely tough out there. So and now that is so many such who are going through things like that. Now, of course, so the anxiety can start off as earthly, then as sensual, then as demonic. But now if you really want to see the goodness of the Lord in all this and walking with the Lord, since now we are taking our course in learning how to trust God, you have to know that God is going to have to change certain things about you. Amen? Because you want things to change in your life, but God wants you to change certain things in your life so that you are a good vessel for the powerful things He wants to do in you. You understand? So He will start by what He calls chastising you or instructing. It depends on what Bible you read. But it can be like some sort of chastisement. Okay? Somebody told me that they went and asked God and said, you know, it was a very spectacular thing because the person went and said that, you know, I want to learn how to live in abundance. So, she just went and, you know, prayed, said that simple prayer. And then she slept. She dozed off. Actually, dozed off in a car. And then when she's there dozing off, God shows her what kind of person she is. She says, now, you see the kind of person you are. Now, she's standing outside of herself, but there's somebody doing all the things she's doing, she does, usually, and she's now the one passing judgment. I say, Nina, how can you do that? But it is her. Huh? Now, you see, that you know, God has a way of demonstrating things which is so spectacular sometimes. So, in the dream, it says, she heard a voice saying, but you're such a miser. I said, miser? The last time I heard that word was so long ago. Such a miser. So, comes out of the dream, and God has showed her, this is who you are. But now you are the one who is passing judgment on who you are. And who you are is something which, if you were out of yourself, you'd be saying, ah, man, you're fake. You mean even that. So, after that, comes out and starts doing the changes. Suddenly becomes, you know, and the Lord leads you in those changes, by the way. Suddenly starts telling you, now do this, now do the other, don't do that, you know. Give out this. You don't need these shoes. Give them out. You don't need the other thing. Give it out. You know, some people don't give out anything. They don't give up. Suits which no longer fit you, you still have them. Because you want to look at them. Like, and that can be like a simple thing, but it is not as far as God is concerned. Because you can give that suit to somebody and it blesses them. Now for you, it can no longer fit, you know. Or even if it can, I mean, you've won it, just give it out. But anyway, some people, you have a stack of shoes which are so old, you can't wear them. And you wonder why you don't have money to buy new ones. There are certain things which people take lightly, but anyway. So, the Lord starts leading her. The next thing, a miracle, a financial miracle. And now you realize that God was waiting on you, not you waiting on him. So you pray and say, God, what must I change to step into the next level? What about me would you want to change so that I step into my next level? You will see how quickly he will show you. You say, but you still have a lot of envy. That there is nowhere you are going with that envy. Or you still have a lot of anger. Or you still have a lot of unforgiveness. You hold on to something. Actually, this person said they had a voice saying, you know, the dreams, a voice can say something and she's communicating to you, but it's from somewhere. And now, God also sometimes speaks in Uganda. I don't know where he learned it from. And I'm joking. But in the dream, you had a voice saying, Neto Sonywa. And you see, you're holding on to this. When somebody crosses your path and angers you, you hold on to it. You're holding on to it. But you can't just let it go. And there are people who are like, and it stands in the way of your progress. And you don't know. And God says, first get rid of that. I have so many good things for you. But I can't give them to you when you're still holding on to anger. You see? I can't give them to you. You know, that scripture which I've read for you, if anyone, Mark 11:24. Huh? Mark 11:24. Go there. It says, therefore, I said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Believe that what? And you know what? Hey, now read the next verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Forgive your trespasses. You see, you think it is, they are disconnected. They are not disconnected. If there is something I want from God, I've practiced this. There is nobody who can be in my hand and I've not forgiven them. I cannot give anybody the benefit of keeping them in my heart for more than 5 minutes. And that's even the maximum. I learned how to train my heart. Somebody hurts me, I say, ah, man, that's okay. I'll move on. So now, if you stand in prayer, and remember, this is, it's not idle. You see, some people think it's just put there. Now, you're holding on to forgiveness. I mean, onto somebody who hurt you the other time, even the other time, now even the other time somebody did this, and you're angry and you're holding on to it because you have self-righteousness in you. You think for you, don't annoy anybody. So, you don't know it stands in the way of your progress. Praise the Lord. Now, when you go to God and you want now to go to the next level of trusting God. He says, first forgive. First learn how to walk in love. First get that a jealousy out of your whatever. And now let me tell you, you cannot get it out of it, out of your system, yourself. That's the honest truth. For the most part, you have to depend on Him to do it. And I know when God says something, when it comes from God, it is pure and it is comes with all the power to help you achieve it. Like, it is not like somebody telling you. I can tell you, you are very whatever. And it is so different because I don't have the power to change you. But when God tells it to you, you suddenly feel empowered to be different. Because His words come with the power to change you. Now, if you're somebody who could not walk, not have an abundance mindset, because you're a miser, you're mukono gam, kajansi. You know, they call them kajansi. I don't know why. Like, now, when the Lord speaks to you, it comes with that power to change. Now, if you really are interested in the next level of learning how to walk with God, you pray prayers where you know that the scripture says no good thing will He withhold from those who love Him. So if there is some good thing that you don't yet have, it is because there is something inside you which He wants to change before He can give it to you. Praise the Lord. That is called responsible parenthood. You are not going to give your 10-year-old son the keys of your car, will you? He has to first show that he has matured, isn't it? So is the Lord. You have to show that I've matured. I don't have unforgiveness. I don't have bitterness. I do not have envy. I am ready to receive. And He will be there ready to give you, praise the Lord. Now that's how you get a degree in trusting the Lord. And that's how the things that you've learned from Him will not, there is no shaking. You're stable. And there is nothing, all this world that is changing. So somebody comes and asks you, what are you into? And you won't answer the question. But deep down, you know you're into trusting God. Because that's the only thing that matters. Let's read that scripture in Hebrews. I think it's in chapter 12. It talks about one more time. I'll shake the heavens and the earth. I think it's in Hebrews 12. I do not... Remember what the scripture said as he looks for it. It says, anxiety in the hearts of a man causes what? Depression. And anxiety is an attack. You're there, you're seated. You've been in a place, in a job for long. And somehow you've been comfortable. And then suddenly you get this feeling, what if I lose the job? Now that is the devil attacking you. There is no other attack. Let me tell you, that is the devil attacking you. Now that's when you have to speak out and you say, no. I am not going to lose it. If I come from here, I'll go to a better job. You see, when the devil comes to you in a thought, respond to him in a word. You understand? Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. What if something happens to your child? Say, no. The scripture says, my children will be taught of the Lord and great will be the peace of my children. You talk to, it comes, because now you can say, your children, you send them to school, let's say every day on a border. I'm just saying. You send them to school and they come back. And they come from PYB, and nothing has ever happened. Then one day out of the blue, but what if something happened? Now that is the devil's, now the attack has started. Now you don't wait for the attack to manifest. Kill it as soon as it comes. Do you understand what I'm saying? What if somebody breaks into your house and I've been here for 5 years. Nobody has ever, even the clothes which I leave outside, they don't steal them. But suddenly the devil comes and plants a bit of anxiety inside you. Then suddenly now you start becoming anxious. Then you are locking everything. Now you have received the word. And no matter how careful you are, they will come and attack you. But if you get the thought and you fight the thought with the word, okay? What if? I remember I used to fear. I think I caused it on myself because there was a program which used to be on TV called Discovery called Flight Investigation of Our What. crash investigation, something like that. So they would show things which caused flights to crash, different things and what. And some of the things were very simple, like one time, you know, the tires coming out when they're about to land, and they, because he presses and then the tires come out. Now, in one case, he pressed and the tires jumped to come out. So, it hit the collars, the tarmac, and, you know. So now, because of watching a lot of that, I used to become anxious. When the plane and it's landing, I say, I hope the tires, what? I hope the tires. Now, you put things on in your mind. And you meditate on fake things. And I used to think it's just like, you know, it's just investigation, fighting out. It is dangerous. Then there was a program also on, it used to be on, where is it? One of those, whatever, 1,000 Ways to Die. Huh? Some of you have seen it. Eh? I used to like it because the wording is very funny. Eh? I used to like the way they introduce the program, and they make fun of death. The guy makes fun of death and what, and some of the ways people died. How many people die in bathtubs? There's a guy who drowned in a sink. Now, not a baby, a big man. Now he drowned in a sink because those sinks have. You know, something which rotates like this in case there is crashes, whatever. So it turns like this. So the guy is brushing and he has a goatee. Then the goatee gets stuck in that thing. Then the thing pulls the guy like this down. Then the water is running. Then the water comes and blocks him like this. And the guy drowns in a sink. In a sink. Okay, I don't. But so now, I used to think it is funny. But then you realize you start meditating on that. By the way, don't play with things which get into your head. These things of how you're watching what. That's why I like watching things which are clearly fake. Eh? Where it is fake, somebody what. Guys are, you know, people are flying and what. Or stuff like that. Or no more, you know, because now that cheap program, 1,000 Ways. Who remembers it? Eh? First of all, now they used to say that what? That every day we face death or through what, you know? That the fact that we are alive is even a miracle. Now you see how they are preparing you. Then they say that, now this is the intro, that if this program does not cause your heart to race, then they even show a heart racing. Boom, boom, boom. Then they say, then check your pulse. You might already be dead. But then after some time, I said, man, this guy is going to make me meditate on death. But, so now the thing, what was I saying? So when because it can cause you anxiety. You get into a bathtub. You know, you've seen so many people sliding and falling. And you start becoming anxious. Yet you've been in bathtubs all your life. And nothing has happened. You understand? Now you, one day, you go to places where they treat people who have border accidents. You'll walk from here up to somewhere. But yet, people sit on borders every day. And they're okay. You understand? And they arrive somehow. Not somehow, by the protection of God. But if you start meditating on it, you will deceive yourself, but eventually it will happen. Praise the Lord. Not praise the Lord for border accidents. But, so, the point is this. Do not let anxiety. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Have this thing that God is in control. I am not on my own. There is God who is watching out for me, and it is going to be well. I've started here. Next, I'm going to go there. The next, I'm going to be there. And God is watching over me because I'm His child. So nothing is going to go wrong. Now, when the devil starts to say, but what if he said, those are yours. The steps of a righteous man are led of the Lord. The Lord is going to lead me to a good place. But what if? No, there is no what if. My children are safe. The Bible says, my children are taught of God, and great shall be the peace of my children. What if? No, It is not going to happen. So you don't give place to the devil through the wand of anxiety. And otherwise, you live your life, and I'm concluding, like the heathen, because they are perpetually anxious. I'm telling you, even those who apparently have the financial means, there is a perpetual anxiety among them, where you find people are anxious all the time, and the devil will not let them have it well. And they are anxious about death. People think, take these scriptures for like as a joke, where it says that what God rescued them from people who, through the fear of death, the devil had held captive. Let me tell you, the fear of death is now you see somebody who knows they are born again and what, there is no real fear of death. There really isn't any, actually. If it is there, it's because people don't understand what is like the other side. But now those people, there is a fear of death because death, they know what death represents. Amen? They know exactly what it represents. And they know what awaits. And especially those who have made decisions in a certain way and they know it. Now there are those who think they are walking. Those ones will just hit them one day. But there are those who have made decisions and they know what is waiting them. So they fear death because they have chosen a paradise on earth and they know it ends here on earth. And the way God designed the hereafter, those who are in heaven don't remember bad things which happened on earth. It happens only once when you go to the judgment seat of Christ and you are shown what you could have been and what you turned out to be, where decisions you made, what you weep. That's why it says it wipes your tears, because everybody weeps when they see what they could have been vis-a-vis what they ended up as. But after that, every bad thing is wiped away. So imagine a woman who died giving birth to a child, and the child, she knows her child is here. You think she's in heaven wondering what happened to the child. God takes away all those memories, otherwise it would not be heaven. You'd be there saying, but now how is my child? No, there is no such thing. Once you get there, you're there. There is nothing. Otherwise, you'd be thinking, now my brother is in hell. What? Nothing. All those memories are wiped away. It is pure bliss. That is heaven. Now hell, all the memories stay with you. You remember every bad thing you did. It is like the memory is part of the punishment. So you remember when you could have received the Lord. You remember all those memories are a part of you throughout eternity. Every day of eternity. You remember the man in hell who said, go and tell my brothers. The story which Jesus gave of Lazarus. So he remembers. He remembers everything. What he did, go and tell my brothers that they should not come to this place. Now, the memory, one of the biggest things is the memory. Is you go there and you have the memory of everything. Whereas in heaven, nothing. So these people say that, who am I going to leave my children with? You're only concerned about that because you're not yet there. When you're there, you won't give a hoot about your children. Because it is time for reward. It is not time for worry. There can't be any worry in heaven. You see, God made it in such a way that the things of the earth, anyway, that's not what I wanted to say. My point is, do not let anxiety. When the scripture says, do not let your hearts be anxious, that is a very powerful thing. Now next year, you can enter it with a sense of faith and trust. My next year is going to be glorious. Say it. Believe it. Trust God for it. And then you just insist on it and say, good things are coming to me. Good things are coming to me. You know, the Lord satisfies my mouth with good things and renews my youth and so on. And you speak positive things about yourself and never let worry come in. When you see hear worry coming, praise the Lord for what he has already done. God, I thank you because, man, everything I have, you have given me, and you're going to give me even more. And you stay in a place of praise, and you kick off the epidemic of worry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, and then so shall we live a very healthy and good life.
and put on weight. Because we are worried about that. Glory to God. I finished preaching. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Now the Lord promised us that He's going to crown the year with powerful things. Amen. And now we are going to, what's the day today? So now we are going to believe God for a very glorious end of year. Amen. Wonderful things like finances. I want everybody to believe with me right now. Just speak out, say, speak to the Lord and say, I expect a wonderful year because you promised us that you crown this year with goodness and great things. So this year is going to be crowned. If there's been struggle throughout from the beginning in any area, now you end in some sort of blitz, in a financial blitz, and you are, you know, overwhelmed. This final, 6 weeks of the year. Just pray in tongues and envision, see yourself, enjoying a very, very bountiful Christmas. See yourself having enough and much more throughout your December, throughout your Christmas, throughout your January, because your year ends in a great and powerful way. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you promised us to crown this year with great abundance. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because we believe that we are going to see a powerful manifestation of that in the final weeks of this year. Say amen. Say a powerful manifestation of a crowning of this year. A bountiful crowning of this year. Of increase in the name of Jesus. I see people here who are going to have their salaries increased. I see people who are expanding. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Heavenly Father, because you do wonderful things for these people here, even as you promised us. And I thank you, Father, because nobody shall be left behind in this blessing of the end of year. And they shall come bearing testimonies. Come bearing testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final fellowship is which day? Five of the year, 12. It's 12th the Friday. 12th the Friday. 19th would be too close to Christmas. So we stop on 12th. Our final fellowship will be 12th. Isn't it? So that means we are left with how many? Two. Three. Left with three. So make sure you come in these last three so that we seal this end of year bountiful and we enter next year into a new level nobody remains at the same level. Praise the Lord. Can you believe with me for that? Say, I do not enter next year at the same level I've been this year. I enter at a higher level. Say it again. I do not enter next year at the same level. I enter at a higher level. Say, thank you, Lord, for promotion. Thank you, Lord, for new doors opening. Thank you, Lord, for expansion. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.